This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everybody. The Feed the Need Radiothon continues to help the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank and help you. Giant Eagle putting it on, our sixth year doing it. It's always a humbling thing to be asked to take part in this. Happy I'm back in the saddle for it. A little iffy given the stomach bug that's trying to work its way through the house. So let's hope I don't pull a Tracy Morgan here over the next 4 hours and blow chunks all over studio. Hello, Malzi.
Hey, how are you? That's a great way to start.
Have you ever thrown up on the air?
No.
Donnie, have you?
I've never even been nauseous in that way. I think I get nauseous very rarely, obviously, unless there's maybe excessive consumption of alcohol involved. But
I thought you always have yourself convinced that you're dying of something. Like, oh, this stomach pain means that I have some debilitating disease or illness that is going to
the one time I thought that I was grave. My stomach was like basically revolting against the rest of my body. My lovely wife, the nurse, goes, wait a minute, you're drinking that rehydration powder. How many servings of that are you taking a day? And I was like, I don't know, two or three. I'm pretty thirsty.
Oof.
And she goes, that stuff will like obliterate your stomach if you're taking that much of it. What are you doing? And then 2 days later, after not taking it, I was fine again.
I'll tell you, the Pedialyte's pretty good.
Upped their Pedialyte game?
They have. They got all kinds of new flavors now.
Because it used to taste horrible. Like, the worst part about having to take Pedialyte was having to take Pedialyte. Like,
Stella had a strawberry lemonade.
That sounds pretty good.
All right, so here's the deal. Nearly 300,000 people are food insecure in the food bank's 11-county service area. That's about 1 in 8 individuals, 1 in 6 children. So we're trying to help them today. And we want to thank the sponsors that are making it possible. Roe Monument, Hampton Beer Outlet, Memorial Highway Chevy, Greater Pittsburgh Auto Dealers, Aetna, Isley's, and Beano's. You can donate online, 937thefan.com, through the Metropolitan Window Company Online Donation Center. And text NEED, N-E-E-D, to 50155 through the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union text line. We'll be doing that all day, raising money. We'll be bringing on guests to talk about it, sports guests, people that work with the food bank every day. We have some contests and games that we're running today, incentives we're giving away. Like, for example, this hour, one person who donates $50 or more will win tickets to Stage AE concerts for the concert season. And I was hearing Starkey read off the names of hip-hop and rap artists who were coming through as part of that, and it was like the whitest sounding thing I've ever heard in my entire
Do you remember
life.
Any of them in particular that he had?
He's like, Lennox, how do I say this? And then Austin's like, oh, I know all about that guy. Oh, I know. I'm familiar with his rap game.
I'm familiar with his rap
game. I know his stylings.
What was he saying? Well, no, forget it. I won't even start.
PM team listeners have been very generous over the years. Malzi is going to be very generous in the next 4 hours because he lost a Penguins bet with me. And that will benefit the greater Pittsburgh community food bank. Yes, $1,000.
No, I was going to say let's save the amount.
Oh.
Great job.
Well, we'll save the amount of meals. How about that? Although it'll be easy for people to do the math on how many meals that is if they've been listening throughout the day. So we'll bring on some big names. Neil Walker is going to jump on in about 15 minutes. I think Donnie is on the phone right now, the fan hotline. Presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, with one of those guests right now. This guy is a great humanitarian philanthropist. He is easily one of the greatest high school football players to ever come out of this region. And he went on to play at Penn State. Linebacker U, one of the great linebackers in Penn State football history. Brandon Short is back with us here on 93.7 The Fan. Brandon, we got a great thing going on here, Feed the Need, helping people in the area. You're a McKeesport guy, and I'm sure several people in that community will be helped out by the food drive we're doing today.
Oh, no question. First of all, thanks for having me. Great to be on. I'm a big fan of the show. And in terms of Feed the Need, I mean, most of us have been blessed with a lot, and we have a responsibility to give back. And there's so many people out there that are hungry that don't have to be. If we can just reach into our pockets and share a little bit of our treasure and share a little bit of our time, it can make a big difference in a lot of people's lives. And to your point specifically, like when I grew up in a housing project in McKeesport called Harrison Village. And we didn't have enough to eat. So many weeks, my grandmother and I would eat off the food from the food bank. So if it wasn't for the food bank, there would have been many days when my family would have gone hungry. So I encourage everybody out there to do what they can, because it is certainly a worthy cause. It certainly helped me.
Amen to that, Brandon. We're also getting to the point, because Andrew read the stats, where it's 1 in 6 children in the area, which always hits me hard because I think, you know, school ends and there's some meals that go by the wayside for a lot of kids. So it's even more important this time of year to really donate whatever you can, because some of those kids are going to be on summer break and it's not maybe as fun as it would be if you're facing food insecurity. That's another thing that just always resonates with me when I hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important to give back, but most importantly to our kids. You know, they're young, they're formative in their formidable years, and it's really tough to focus and reach your full potential, you know, if you're hungry. You know, with all the changes that we see, you know, in government and with cutbacks to specialty programs like school lunches, it's so important that, you know, that the private sector step in and fill the gap.
Brandon Short with us here, the great Penn State player, one of the great high school football players to ever come out of this region. It's so easy to donate. You can text NEED, N-E-E-D, right now. That's N-E-E-D to 50155. The donator, go to 937thefan.com. We also have callers standing by at 412-663-5664. We know how generous the Penn State alumni and the Penn State fan base is. So let's get some specific Penn State donations in here. Now we got Brandon on the horn. How about we have people who can donate $43 right now in honor of a man who wore number 43 at Penn State? I'm trying to remember who that was off the top of my head.
Somewhat washed up guy.
Donnie suggested a $108 donation for Penn State fans for 108,000 strong, the number of folks who show up for Penn State games.
That's much better. That's okay. A more representative number of Penn State than 108.
How about $40.90 is in 409, the great Joe Paterno win total from back in the day, some ones that have been thrown out there, Brandon. You like any of those?
That's much better. I like $409.
Okay.
You know, from all Penn State. we can make it bigger, 409, because that 409 is special to all of us.
That's a challenge from one Penn Stater. And not Malzi, who went to Penn State and in a pickup game there made 9 straight threes, Brandon. Did you know that?
Really?
It did happen.
I was not aware of that.
It did happen, Brandon. No one believes me,
though. Is there video evidence?
No, because everyone was kind of hungover and partying the night before, so there wasn't a lot of defense being
Malzi,
played.
Malzi, tell him where it happened, then he can say if he believes it.
It was either one of the two gyms in the IM building. I don't think anyone guarded me for the first 6 or 7 of them, Brandon, so it happened, but I do try to downplay it so these guys don't have a field day with it.
Look, It's hard to do that on air. I'm telling you, you should be in the NBA. If you're at nine on air, you're in like the top 0.1%.
That's true. That would be true. I was unfortunately basically blessed with no other basketball ability whatsoever. Here's one more, Brandon. 526 total points scored by Penn State during their undefeated 1994 campaign.
Wow.
Where they were just rolling over everybody. Only to be what? I guess
cheated
from elite. You know what we all deserved as football
cheated.
Fans?
That's what happened.
You guys in Nebraska in a battle of one versus two. That's what they needed to make happen that year.
Brandon, by the way, Chris is being polite. He always claims that Nebraska would have pounded that Penn State team, and even though
would not have been close. We had the best offense of all time.
Here's the problem
guys,
for me, Brandon.
10 guys in the NFL, the whole offensive line. Three receivers, Kajana Carter, Kerry Collins, Bobby Engram. The Joe Giravicious was the backup.
And he punted on that team. People forget that, Brandon. He punted Joe Giravicious.
Brandon, I have to appeal to you this way, though. You guys were the best scoring offense in college football that year. You were a dominant force, no doubt. And the defense was nothing to sniff at either. But you got to understand, I'm 9 years old back then. I'm sure when you were a kid, you liked random teams for random reasons. Maybe you liked their helmets.
Probably like Penn State.
I like the Green Bay Packers when I was 5 years old because the helmets look cool. I was a huge Tommy Frazier and Nebraska fan for some reason in the mid-90s. I have to speak my truth here.
And then he went to Penn State and still didn't root for him, Brandon. Isn't that messed up?
Are you kidding me?
No, that's dead serious.
I don't even know how you made it up. How did you make it out of the IM building that day? Like, what were they?
How has he survived on the air for 15
Brandon,
years?
I think,
is a better question.
I think people took,
even make it through Penn State?
People took pity on me. They said, this guy looks like he couldn't win a fight, so we won't even bother with him
when
he's out there doing his thing.
So not only text to 50155-NEED, but also text into our number and tell us how much you're donating. And if it is a symbolic Penn State donation, we'll read that out over the year and get Brandon fired up with that. We have a list submitted by some listeners, Brandon, of rapid-fire high school, college, and pro football questions for you. The first one
is, let's get it.
Who is the best high school football player you ever played against?
Roosevelt Benjamin. LeVar Arrington came to my mind first, but it was Roosevelt Benjamin. He was a wide receiver for Erie Cathedral Prep. We played them in the semifinals on when we won the state championship in 94. He played wide receiver, and I was so glad he wasn't a running back. He was almost invincible.
I've got a college one for you, Brandon. Who was the toughest guy to tackle in your three-year college career over there at Penn State? Toughest tackle in open field. You see him coming and bearing down in some space, and you thought, uh-oh, this guy's gonna give me a hard time.
Yeah, I have bad memories from being up at Wisconsin against Ron Day.
I knew you were going to say that.
That jump around was like a nightmare. I can just remember sitting there not being able to stop this guy. And jump around had just started. It wasn't like it was a well-known that it was thing. And I was just like, these dudes are freaking partying on us because we can't stop this guy.
And then you played with him. And then you were a teammate with him on the Giants.
We got drafted. We're in the same draft class together, on the Giants. But it's like a nightmare because whenever he would get, he broke the all-time rushing record.
Yep.
In college football, and they would just go Ron Day every time he would touch the ball. It'd be like 20 yards, 15 yards.
It probably also wasn't fun because his linemen ahead of him probably looked like five dudes who just ate corn for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and were all 6'5". Yeah, 6'5", 320.
They bred them dudes. Big dudes. Nebraska, Iowa, Wisconsin farm boys that just leaned on you.
All right, here's a serious one, Brandon. Brandon Short's thoughts on the state of college football and the state of college athletics right now.
College athletics is that we're at an inflection point, and there's a lot of things about the sport that are changing, like namely name, image, and likeness, the transfer portal, all things that are necessary. I don't think that we shouldn't run away from the change. We need to embrace it, but it needs to be refined. You know, the way that the transfer portal is and the timing and the way the NIL works, there's no real There's nothing really grounding the players and grounding the teams, but I'm happy players are getting paid. I'm happy players are having the opportunity to move around, and the world just has to adapt.
Brandon, we have a text that just came in that said, we need Tom Bradley to step it up and make a big donation. He's got a huge savings from all those years coaching at Penn State, and he should be generous today, which I know the person who sent that, so that's why I felt comfortable reading it.
Man, I love Scrap. Scrap recruit, like Tom Bradley is, we call him Scrap, that he recruited me to Penn State, you know, out of McKeesport, and I'd have to say he's like the – when I think of Penn State, I think of Joe Paterno, one, but the second, the closest thing is Scrap. He's like family. I love him. You know, he's like arguably one of the best defensive coordinator, you know, in college football history. And he's the man. We got to get him back.
Brandon, you're the best. Thanks for coming out with
us.
We appreciate it. You're always there for a good cause. We love you for it. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot, guys, and keep up the good work, man. We need you to keep using your platform to make an impact, man. Thanks a lot.
We will do that. Thank you. Yeah, how about that? Short calling for some $409 donations.
I threw out $526 trying to stoke memories of Penn Staters angry that they didn't get a crack at Tommy Frazier, Brooks Berringer, and Nebraska.
And I guess if we don't get one, then ultimately you'll be proven right that Nebraska would have stomped a mud hole in them. Because it'll be proof that people didn't have confidence or belief in that team. Cool chopping it up with Brandon Short on this Day of Giving, our Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon. Text NEED to 50155 to do your part. You can also text into our text line 412-928-9370. And once you donate, tell us how much you donated and the symbolic meaning behind it. We already have a text in here. I've donated $27 because that's the Malsy. 9 times 3.
I like that one a lot. I like that one a lot. I thought about getting golf balls made that just had the number 27 on them. Like, you know, you always have a 1 or a 2 or whatever, just a 27.
We have a special birthday shout out belatedly for Malsy later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
From a big time celebrity. Looking forward to that. Celebrities galore on today's show on the station all day as a part of this awesome day of trying to help out Pittsburghers. Coming up in a little bit, Brian Gulish from the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, a wrestling aficionado. He was challenged by listeners to put together a quiz, a wrestling quiz. Donnie versus Malsy. These two wrestling nerd heavyweights. Ready to square off
the natural disasters of wrestling nerddom. Even though I don't
really watch
it. Did
you hear the news about them, Pony?
They're going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, they are.
Long overdue.
Big John Tenta.
One person who donates $50 or more this hour will win tickets to Stage AE concerts for the entire concert season.
I do love that as a venue, by the way, Stage AE. I've seen some very good shows
there. Love seeing concerts there. Hate getting the hell out of there. They got to do something about the traffic patterns, but we won't debate that and litigate that on...
You got to pull a Pittsburgh dad move and just park far enough away that you can just walk past where all the traffic's clustered and make a clean getaway. Chalooch.
Our guest right now is pulling an Ernie Banks. He was on with the morning show. He's back on with us. That's how much helping out Pittsburghers means to him. He is the Pittsburgh kid. Neil Walker. Neil, Brandon Short just joined us. He's a Penn State guy. How close were you to going to Penn State to play football? Was it ever like, was it 50-50? Was it just like a 5% chance? Was there no chance? Is that just a rumor and something that's been thrown around and a myth over the years? Give us a little bit on that, if you would.
Yeah, well, you know, thanks for having me on, guys. Always fun to talk to you and support an awesome cause today. You know, I think the biggest thing was the fact that the baseball program, especially in the early 2000s, and, you know, even so much now, you know, my thoughts were I wanted to get as far down the East Coast in the warm weather come January, February, March as I could. And so I kind of geographically set like a line. And it started basically at the University of Virginia and went down to, you know, Clemson, South Carolina area. So I just didn't, you know, I love football. I absolutely love football. I knew that, you know, especially after – playing guys like Paul Posluszny and seeing that firsthand, I was like, you know what? I think that maybe I should pursue this baseball thing and shelve the football thing. So it was more so like, you know, 85-15 that I could have potentially gone there. But, you know, I wanted to go there. I just, the baseball program situation just was.
It was back then, Pony. I can speak to it because I was a year ahead of Neil. It was not what it is now as far as like a nicer stadium out there. It was Medler Field, I think it was called, at least last I checked, was not built up. Correct me if I'm wrong, Neil. You were getting recruited pretty heavily by Tommy Bowden to come play wide receiver at Clemson, were you not?
So we did have a couple conversations about that, and the one thing that that struck me was you know, Jay Paterno came into to Pine Richland and when I was there my senior year, and he said, "Hey, listen," he said, "you don't have to come to spring football. You can completely focus on baseball, and all that." And my biggest question was, because I was not exactly a speedy white guy that could potentially play wide receiver, and a safety at the time, which I believed in my ability as a safety, I thought to myself, I know how this is going to go. I'm going to end up going, and they're going to pack on about 60 pounds, drop me down in the box on defense, and put me in as an outside linebacker. And it was kind of the same conversation with Clemson. I said, "Well, how would this work?" And he said, "Well, you know, he was a little gung ho about wanting me there as much as I possibly could, and I knew that was going to kind of hinder the baseball side of things." So that conversation didn't go very far, but it was a conversation that was had. Yeah.
Neil, just one more quickie on this. If you had to compare your game at Pine Richland as a wide receiver to a current NFL wide receiver today, who would you say you resembled most?
Oh, my gosh. A slower Cooper Kupp, I guess. I mean, I was a guy that ran good routes and was kind of cunning as far as route running. And, you know, I had an incredible quarterback there in Kevin McCabe and
Kevin McCabe, Malzy. That's one of your guys.
Scourge of parochial school basketball among the Butler Catholic, St. Teresa's, St. Alphonsus crowd. An absolute menace on
legend.
The court.
He's an absolute legend. Absolutely.
His dad also was the fieriest grade school basketball coach I have ever seen in my entire life.
The Dan Hurley of parochial and basketball.
Just, he was fired up 24-7, 365. Neil, I was honestly hoping you'd compare yourself to DK Metcalf or something as a wide receiver.
So was I.
No, I'm fairly self-aware about my football prowess or whatever you would call it. And again, I love playing football. I really loved playing wide receiver and doing that. But I'm not ignorant to the fact that I had some really good other people around me like Kevin McCabe to make me look good.
Neil, your buddy and our buddy Colby Armstrong has the nickname Mr. Winter Classic because he has the fastest goal in Winter Classic history. I think your nickname should be Mr. Opening Day because you just had a penchant for always getting big hits and hitting homers on opening day. You hit that grand slam off Ryan Dempster, who's one of the great characters in baseball, in 2011. It was the first grand slam on opening day since Clemente hit one back in the 60s. Walk us through that one on a rainy day, a cold day at Wrigley Field in 2011.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I was texting with somebody today about this exact thing, and they said, it was actually our trainer or our strength and conditioning guy, Frank Velasquez, and I was like, do you remember how cold it was that day? And there were reports that it was about 36 degrees at game time, and it was raining, and it was, you know, you could see a little bit of snow flurries, and the heaters were just pumping in the dugout, and I remember just the first four or five innings just flew by because nobody could feel their hands, and nobody could square up the ball, and every time they did, they're coming back, shaking their hands because it was so cold. But I remember as that game kind of went along, we started to put some pressure on Dempster, and I don't remember how many outs there were when I came up, but I remember thinking, okay, I got a couple of bats. Let me grind this thing out. I fouled off a couple 3-2 pitches and got it. He tried to throw a front door sinker that just leaked out into the middle bottom half of the plate, and that was right in my honey hole. And Fortunately, at Wrigley Field, even as cold as it was, the wind was still blowing out the right center, and I was able to get it up in that jet sweep, and that was certainly something, especially as my first opening day of my career in 2011. That was a very memorable moment for me and for the team.
All right, I'm going to ask you a tough question then. First opening day, you do that. What's more memorable, that grand slam or 2015 against the Cubs here, knocking one out in extra innings to win that game 1-0?
Ooh.
Well, yeah, you know what? I think the one in Pittsburgh in 13 probably, or 15 probably takes the cake because, or was that 14? Is it 14?
14. It was 14.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so we got it.
Because 13,
we
Jeff Samard just shoved it, and then the next year you guys got him back a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. 14, exactly. But
I think the biggest thing from that, the end of the 13 season going into the 14 season was like in spring training, we were looking around the clubhouse and we were like, holy cow, we got some dudes on this team. We got the Martes, Cutch right in his prime, you know, Pedro. I don't remember exactly if Polanco was kind of up and solidified in the lineup yet.
No, nope.
But we had some dudes on that team and it was pretty rare that we would have game one in Pittsburgh. A lot of times for whatever reason, maybe because of the weather, we tended to be on the road. And that was one particular day where I think it was about 58, 59, 60 degrees, and nobody could get a hit. And we just rolled into the ninth inning and pushed on to extra innings. And I was able to get up. My first thought was, holy cow, the shadows are starting to creep in. And anybody that's played in Pittsburgh at about 4 o'clock, especially early in the year, knows how difficult it can be once the shadows creeped in. So in the dugout, we're talking about, hey, can somebody please end this game? You know, let's get the heck out of here. And I was lucky enough to get a pitch from, I believe it was Carlos Villanueva.
Yes.
Carlos Villanueva. I got a changeup. He dumbly threw me a changeup that just sat in the middle of the plate, and I was lucky enough to hit it about a foot over the Clemente wall in right field. And what a start, especially looking back after – how that season went, how cool that was to start off the year that way.
Neil, to go back to your football comps, we have somebody anonymously texting me saying, as one of Neil's high school football opponents, I would call him a white Debo Samuel. He was a bubble screen specialist.
Okay, I mean, I guess
I would take that. That's pretty flattering. Debo's a bad dude when he gets the ball in
Neil,
his hands.
Neil, did you ever get either one of those balls back from the 11 home run or the 15? Home run? Did you get those?
You know what? I was going through some of my memorabilia stuff, and I had a bunch of baseballs, and I wasn't able to dig through them quite like I wanted to. We're getting ready to move in the fall, so I had to go through some of the stuff. I'll have to get back on the other. I'm almost positive I have the one from home. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the one from Wrigley ever made its way back to me.
Gotcha. Neil, last one here because of this great cause we've got going on today. I'm sure, you know, this obviously is important to you because you're from here. And, you know, I remember your late dad came on the air with Ron and I way back in the day and said he almost was on that flight with Clemente that went down. Am I right about that? I mean, something close to that, something along those lines happened.
Yeah, that's true. And when he says he was, he almost got on that flight. He was actually at the airport with a lot of other guys because obviously it was New Year's Eve, and they weren't playing baseball down there during that stretch, Christmas to New Year's. And, you know, Nicaragua obviously had the earthquake, and there were a ton of guys. You know, when Clemente spoke, everybody listened. So basically they said, hey, we need to load this plane. We need to gather these supplies from San Juan and load them on this plane. We should have room for a bunch of guys. We can play cards and drink beer, and when we get there, we'll load everything off and then get back on the plane and come back to San Juan. And as the plane continued to get full, Clemente basically said, you know what, this plane is way too heavy and it's way too crowded. And guys were still adamant, hey, we'll sit on boxes, we'll lay on the ground if we get tired, whatever that may be. And he absolutely said, no, it's me and the pilot, done deal, nobody's getting on this plane. But the people were, you know, Manny Sanguin, another guy, they were at the airport helping load this plane. And, you know, God willing, a lot of those guys' lives were saved that day directly because of Clemente.
Wow. Well, we just had somebody make a donation for $94, which is the 2013 win total. and somebody is making a donation with Johnny Cueto's number. How about that for the 2013 wild card game? Hey, Neil, we'll be checking you guys out, listening to you in the morning show, obviously, throughout the season, and watching your call and listening to your call of the game here on The Fan. Thank you.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. You're doing great work. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you and talking to you sometime down the road.
There you go. Neil Walker, everybody. This hour brought to you by Butler Transit Authority, our Power Hour sponsor here on Feed the Need.
I got to get Neil out to the golf Samuel. Course, too. I think, Neil's. We got to do some golfing with Neil.
Donnie, who's the best high school football player you went up against?
So I've thought about that before, because that's just like one of those conversations when you're around a decade out of high school, thinking back to like, man, did we go up against anybody who got to the NFL? I think the only guy, I might be missing somebody here, I think the only guy I actually played against was Chase Winovich in a playoff game. But that was it.
Did he still have the long flowing hair?
No, he had short hair then.
It was back when they all were doing the blonde hair thing probably, right?
Yeah, they do that like every year. But yeah, he didn't have like the long locks. He wasn't like Lennox Muller yet.
Was Chirpak on the sideline in shorts?
Always.
Was it a day ending in Y?
It could be snowing.
That was Chirp's big thing. It was has he ever not worn shorts? Has it ever been so cold that Chirp once gave in?
Funny enough, you know the only time I've seen the guy wear pants? Like a long pair of pants? It was in a gymnasium. I did a TJ basketball game, and I see him wearing pants. I'm thinking, what the hell is
going
on
around here? That just proves the shorts was a mind games thing above all else.
All right. Sixth annual Giant Eagle Feed the Need Radiothon today. Power Hour brought to you by Butler Transit Authority. You could text NEED to 50155 through the Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union text line. Last year, the food bank distributed enough food for nearly 48 million meals, and we're trying to add to that total today. Brian Gulish, who's become a staple on these shows. Starkey's known you for 2 decades, and I heard he got your name wrong earlier in the day.
Hold on. There we go. You were Mr. what?
Grealish.
That's You're okay. Lucky that he even like knows your first name, though, because he's known a lot of people in this building for a decade plus, and Cornelius, you know, he Gertrude.
He thought I was Ralphus, Jericho's security guard.
He's something, man. He lives in a very different bubble than the rest of
All
us.
All right, so let's get an update on where we're at meals-wise, and then we'll get to the moment of truth. These two wrestling savants... who every day
I think
here,
you're overselling us a little bit.
No, I'm not. These guys come in here, they watch old wrestling, then they're able to recall things that happened at like dark shows and
yo, you know what dark shows are now.
And they remember an In Your House from 1997 and they go back and forth on
Oh
it.
Yeah, except you're the guy who can remember in order every participant in the 1992 Royal Rumble when you were 6.
How are we doing, Brian? What are we looking at?
We're pacing very well right now, comparable to last year, knowing that we have some things coming up in the next hour or so with some very special presentations. So right now we're at 163,212 meals.
And we have a big presentation coming from Malsy as well a little bit later on.
Later in the show, yes.
And you can thank the Penguins futility for that, Brian, based on a bet that got made between the two of us. All right, so let's get some... Donnie, do I have computer sound here?
Oh, boy.
Let's get some beats.
Yes, this is that. Hold on,
Pony. Is that Jake the Snake?
Yes, it is Jake the
Snake.
And
I don't have headphones on.
As
but
we
I can
always
tell.
We always laugh, and they say it basically sounds like the Phoenix Suns theme too.
All right, so Brian,
great
I
theme.
Have no idea how this is going to work. This is your game. This is your show for the next few minutes.
Well, let's do it.
Donnie versus Mulzy.
I have 8 questions. They can alternate questions.
Okay Donnie, gentlemanly of me, I'll say you get to go first.
Okay.
And then I can steal.
It's like
you
an old
can
school
steal.
Quiz
if
show.
If he gives an answer yes. and you think it's wrong, then you can come in with the...
Okay.
So we'll start very easy here. We'll go back to 1998. On July the 6th, 1998, what happened on WCW Nitro in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, Georgia?
Goldberg beat Hulk Hogan for the World Heavyweight Championship.
He doesn't even challenge that one because he is correct. Ding, ding, ding. Goldberg cleanly, one of only like 5 people ever, to defeat Hulk Hogan.
I could name a couple of the other ones. Piper beat him clean.
All right, Muscle, you don't need to flex your muscle here.
Okay? Luger
Donnie
beat him
got
clean.
It right. We don't need you to say
all right,
I would have been
right.
able
yeah.
to get a harder
this is
question
like,
right.
This is like Starkey who would use to yell at me for that. He'd be like, okay, you have to prove how smart
and
you
for
are.
For good reason. All right, anyway. Question two.
Hey, Chris,
Brian
you told
Gulish,
me-
the Feed the Need wrestling trivia contest for all time.
Chris told me that he wanted 98 to 2005. Yeah. So
I'm a very it's
oh,
a
so
very
this was
narrow range
for Malsey.
It's a very narrow range of like wrestling savant. That was my era.
June 27th, 2002. Who did John Cena debut against?
Kurt Angle.
Correct.
Man.
Good pull, Malsey.
Yes. Ruthless aggression.
Yes, that was that era.
Our video guy, Ben Tenuta's in here, and we might as well be speaking Mandarin. He has no idea what's going
now,
on.
Now, if we said stuff
Kids
like...
forget John Cena used to be cold.
Yeah, if we had said stuff like prime Kurt Angle was a problem with the snorting emoji, he'd be like, oh, I get it.
All right, 1-1. Six questions
okay,
to go
now
here.
They're going to get more difficult here.
All right.
So, WCW question, a little further back than 1998. He did not face The Undertaker or Kane in WWE. But in WCW, he did face those two individuals. What were their names in WCW?
What was Kane's name and what was Undertaker's name? Oh, I know Undertaker's, but I don't know Kane's.
All right, well, give us... Well, then maybe you should flop the question on purpose and not give Malsey help on the Undertaker part.
I'll pass it to Malsey.
Is it what they were as a tag team or like an individual name?
No, names? Individuals.
He really is making it hard on you guys.
WCW. I know one, but he can't steal it back, so I'm going to say Mean Mark Callis was the Undertaker.
Yeah,
correct.
Oh, Kane.
I don't know Kane's in WCW.
Big Tex. I don't know.
Bruiser Mastino.
Oh, yeah, good old Bruiser Mastino.
Damn it.
1-1 to 1. We have a tie.
This one's for Malsey.
This is me, yeah.
It is.
All right.
Which championship, back to John Cena theme here with that ridiculous hill turn he's on right now. Which championship has John Cena never held? The Intercontinental title, the U.S. title, the WWE Tag Team Championships, or the WWE World Tag Team Championships?
I'm just going to go because it feels like such an extra one, the World Tag Titles.
Would you like to steal?
The answer is the Intercontinental Championship.
Son of a...
Correct.
Yeah. 2-1, Donnie.
Oh,
we're
now
home.
You've got Tenuta. I even knew that.
Okay, moving right along here.
You're so mid, Malsey.
Who's this going to?
Exactly. It's Donnie.
Donnie,
he's got a 2-1 lead, and he could really take command here.
Which superstar, multiple choice here, which superstar was the first... Who was the first to hold the WWE Divas title in 2008? Michelle McCool, Maryse, Melina... Or Mickie James.
Hold on, I need that again. We had
first to
I
hold the WWE.
Well, they need Brian next door. They kind of stormed in here.
We got to revisit this, Brian. We got to temper. Got to stop it for now and come back at 3:39 for the conclusion.
Yeah, because we're at halftime. We went through four questions, right?
Perfect. Okay.
Bye, Brian.
Hold that thought. He doesn't want to leave. He wants to keep doing wrestling.
He might
trivia.
Have to scrap that question because now Donnie's heard it, and we don't want Donnie researching.
No, Donnie could barely hear it. He was getting screamed at in there.
You were getting yelled at?
He was. They were. They ran in there.
There
like
was a storming of the door,
like a house on fire. It was a Katie bar the door situation, as good old JR would say. I'm in big trouble, man, because I think you're going to get this question when you hear it again. I'm in big, big trouble.
I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think you're lowballing yourself to try to turn yourself into the sentimental choice.
I feel
of an
like
underdog.
I should be getting a half point for Mean Mark Callis.
Pat Fryermuth is going to join us in about a half hour. That'll be fun. Pat has generally been banned from coming on our station, so it's great that we finally end that. Not his decision, of course. It'll be nice that we get to talk to him. The last time I saw Pat, he was ripping Crowley.
As one does.
Because Crowley was talking about how West Virginia was going to beat Penn State in the opener to the college football season.
Speaking of which, you know it would be another just topical, great donation amount? $139 for
13.9. Oh, ho, ho, ho. The morning show had 4 hours to play with today. They didn't workshop that one. I heard Callis made a massive donation.
He did.
Uncle
he donated
Pennybags over here.
1,000 meals he donated.
Benevolent Callis. I'm gonna have to lay off. I'm gonna have to lay off making fun of the guy.
Very generous with his finances. How about another one? The morning show could have done $440 for Doran's 40 time 440. Still the record for tight ends at the draft.
I'm trying to think of another callous one that's based on his ignorance of things that every sports fan already knows.
His ignorance of things. I mean, yes. That's towering.
Along those lines, we have a game. Another kind of. bit of trivia coming up. It's called the name game, the PM team name game. A generous donor picked four random topics. I have no idea what they are. What's so funny over there now?
One of our YouTube commenters
picked four random topics. All. We have to go around the room trying to answer or list as many things or people from that topic until
we just
two of us get it wrong.
Crap out.
Yeah.
Do you want to know what this YouTube commenter said?
Sure.
Jeremy just randomly sent in, Mulsey looks like Pittsburgh's very own Johnny Sins. That was it.
It's a hell of a compliment.
I mean, sure.
You don't think Johnny Sins, based on some of the jobs he had?
Radio host.
You don't think he would have stepped up on a day like this to feed the need when he was coming back as a military vet?
You know, he would have risen to the occasion, there's no doubt.